This past Tuesday, Elena, Alvaro, and I completed the presentation and the teachings of a 5-day silent meditation retreat here in Todos Santos. And they were 5 beautiful days, happy to say. And they were especially auspicious days for me. It was during the retreat when it became very clear to me and those caring for me that it was too difficult to do more of them for me. And although the retreat was very enjoyable, and kind of beyond words for how much brightness and love there was, it was clear that the next scheduled one at the end of April in Tijuana was not going to be something I should reach for. So we decided that this past retreat, the one that ended Tuesday, would be the last for me, but not for Elena. During the time together, there were moments when there was a passing on of the bells, the Tibetan retreat bells that had been given to me by Jack Kornfield at the time of empowerment to teach. We passed them on to Elena. It was a touching and moving and entirely appropriate event. Elena has already conducted her retreats alone, and there are more scheduled. And it's my understanding, I think, that you will be teaching the Tijuana retreat. Is that right?
Yes. She's not here.
Aha. Aaron is here. Aaron is here. And you will be teaching?
Yes.
Good. Aaron conducts the very useful and healthy yoga classes that go with the retreats. His style is easy and fresh and inspiring. So the retreats will continue under the guidance of Elena Asensio Ibanez with blessings from everywhere, everywhere. It was during one of the days that several of the people in the retreat asked me, I think because the obviousness of the amount of effort that was being expended by me to just get to my chair, several of them asked me to speak about the process of dying. To speak about the process of dying. realizing that we humans don't talk about that very much, openly or easily. It's a very fear-laden and unknown, the huge question marks of unknown and difficult to find the right words. So it was a good experience for me to speak about what I was going through, having begun this process, quite obviously, of leaving this life in the physical body and all the symptoms and all the experiences that go with that obviousness are present. And I was surprised at how easy it was to speak about it, and openly, plainly, no frills. This is how it actually is at this time. And since then, since that talk, which I think was recorded, I've had a lot of time to reflect on the experience, and I realized that mostly I focused on the difficulties of the process and the struggles that come with recognizing the need to let go of attachments and identifications at such a level of finality to really let go. I spoke a lot about how that's a not easy process, especially when I spoke of how much I was enjoying my life. Very happy and appreciative and grateful for such an idyllic life and so much love around me all the time, so much wonderful caring, and I spoke of the stretch it is to let go of clinging at that level, clinging to the joy of life, living, and of long love relationship, and talked about how our practice had become speaking to each other the mantra, "Thank you, I love you, goodbye. Thank you, I love you, goodbye." That mantra being a way to stay alert and in contact and as much as possible to be fully aware of the situation. So, in reflecting on all this, I realized I spoke at length about how difficult the process is. Today, I want to change that a little bit. And I would like to talk to you about the joy of dying. It's become very clear to me that there's a need within and in the speech to balance that story. And as a long time Dharma teacher, it would be impossible to be teaching Dharma and not speaking about what's happening, because that's where Dharma talks come from. They come out of personal experience, always. That's what makes them alive when they're alive. So I've been reflecting on the other side of it, the balanced side. And it's been very pleasant. It's been fun to do, because there are a lot of ways in which this letting go, the finality of letting go to death, to really contemplate it, to be really face to face and willing to not run from the fear. And that kind of attitude has awakened a whole other way of dealing with the finality and the truth of impermanence. Impermanence, nothing lasting. It's in my nature to grow old, have sickness, and to experience death. It's in my nature. It's inescapable. And that's so for each of us, which is, of course, why the topic is of vital importance to everybody. And also, perhaps, why we don't talk about it much. It's pretty intense. So I've been thinking about what I've been enjoying. Well, first of all, the retreat was very enjoyable, although it was a huge effort. And it became especially expansive and light for me when we made the final decision to make it was the last one. The last retreat. I've been teaching retreats for many, many years. I have no idea how many years now. And Dharma for 50 some years. So the notion of letting go and having that be such a clear direction was expansive. It was lightning. It felt very good. I've come to the end of my work. That level of work. Retreats have been a common staple of my existence for many years. I loved them. I've experienced some of life's most wonderful moments in retreats. And as far as them being my work as a Dharma teacher, it's finished for me. And I feel lighter, much lighter. I had to spend some time alone the first couple of days, Wednesday and Thursday, trying to stay in touch with how I was really feeling. Am I sad? Am I hanging on? Am I really relieved like I think I am? It's really relieved. I'm a man who has come to the end of his work. on earth, except for Dharma talks on Sundays. I will continue those as long as I'm able to get into the door. And there's someone sitting here. That counts a lot. There's that. Then many little perks have come with this stage of life and the ending of life. For one thing, as you can imagine, the process is full of, and for those of you who have chronic illnesses, I know you understand this, process is full of many symptoms of dysfunction, illness. Every day, new symptoms. I'm quite aware of the fact that my body, the functioning is breaking down quite rapidly. Things are falling apart. And not always with grace. They can be falling apart with loss of functions, you know, that are quite difficult to handle. And what I've discovered is that in the new symptoms that are occurring, my attitude has changed a lot. I don't care. I don't care. And I thought, well, there was a day when I would have been going, calling the doctor or checking in with my neurologist. And, is this okay? Is this okay? This is that. And I don't have any need to do that at all because, you know, it's all going to the same place. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm free of neurotic symptoms. I hope that's not an overstatement. Yeah. I don't care. Lately, it's been nausea, a lot of it. And I don't know how you are with nausea, but I especially don't like it. And there's been a lot of it. But it's easier now. And you know what? It works. Better than anything. It simply works, stops it. And that's a real joy, for sure. I have permission to be ahead. I don't care. So there's the freeing up around the whole physical body, is it okay? Is it not okay? What's going wrong today? What will it be like tomorrow? All of that worrying, it's gone. If you can imagine, it's gone. There's a kind of joy that has taken its place. It's doing what it's doing. It's definitely falling apart. Systems are failing, clearly. And there's a freedom in it. There's a freedom that comes with it. Something about being very honest with oneself about what it is that's going on. Yes, this is actually happening. For one thing, I've been a physician long enough to know what symptoms are important and what aren't. And the important ones are happening. And they're on time. It's all unfolding on time. of the, my appreciation for how Dharma life experiences unfold is heightened incredibly. Dharma, I love Dharma, how it is, how it happens. Everything occurs just as it should, just as it needs to at the moment. It's true for you in your life. Dharma, that's what Dharma is. It's the unfolding of energetic life moment to moment and as consciously as possible. Dharma, the appreciation of that and applying your experience with using the teachings of the Buddha Dharma, teachings of Buddhism, were incredibly helpful. I have come to the happiness of my own personal realization that Buddhism is wonderful. You know why? Because it's sane. It makes sense. There's no magical. There's nothing magical in it. The experience is magical, but the philosophy is not. It's very brutally confrontive. Impermanence, suffering, no way out. You can't avoid, you can't escape your self. That's Dharma. And sometimes it seems very harsh, but my experience of it is in this dying process is everything's happening on time and very clear. There have been moments, not recently, but there have been moments after my stroke of trying to get it. This is actually happening, Robert. Pay attention. This, you're not making this up. This is really occurring. Those moments of, yes, I'm in the process of ending what has been a wonderful life, a wonderful, full of adventures and loved life. So that happiness is growing within me. And I call it the joy of dying. I've been freed a lot in this contemplation from any constraints that I have about time and how I use it, how it's, I spend it. I have complete permission to not do stuff I don't want to do. Very easy. It doesn't even a question. There's not so much time left. I want it to be, this is the truth. I want it to be enjoyable. It's enough suffering. There will be enough no matter what. I don't need to make more. I've never doubted the truth of the first noble truth. Life is suffering. It seems self-evident to me. But it's no longer a prison. The door, the prison door opened up. Yes, it's the way it is, but it's because it's ending. It's ending. Impermanence works both ways. The stuff that's difficult ends too, as well as the joys of home life and relationship and Sangha and friends, and colleagues. So many of you I have beautiful relationships with. It's okay how it is. More than okay. It's been stunning for me. Usually I'm a depressive person. Kind of, you know, always leaned that way. Existential angst. And it's been stunning to discover that my character is changing. I don't care anymore about stuff that I can't do anything about anyway. What I care about is the quality of this moment and life the way it is these days. I care a lot about that. So there's a high premium of using time wisely, not frivolously. I don't want to undertake tasks that are too much effort for me. I don't have to anymore. I have the perfect excuse. I'm a dying man. Yeah, yes, it's true. Time. How to organize it so that I'm spending valuable moments of life in ways that I like, that work for me. It doesn't mean work stops or that meditation ceases or, you know, there's still practice. And things to deal with, but the burden is lifting, and that has happened because of I've experienced a lot of grief, and with friends, close friends, and tears and conversations of letting go. But now there's a change as a result, at the end of this retreat. There aren't more retreats now. My work is finished. My work is finished. Wow. It's all my life I've been aware of the work, the responsibility of being a teacher. It's a huge responsibility. And it's always weighed somewhat heavily on me. And now it's more rejoicing. The joy of dying. The freedom that comes with letting go whether you want to or not, you know. And it isn't very often that it's want to. We let go because what we cling to is pride out of our clutches, our fists. We hang on. We're all the same. We hang on by our fingernails into what we hang on to what we believe is true. We hang on to our personal stories big time. And now that the personal story is dwindling to the end, not much to hold on to. You know, who cares? It's all memory. And I'm interested in now And I love life more than ever. A friend of mine who recently committed suicide in Holland, euthanasia, legal suicide, she invited a whole bunch of people to her suicide party. And her last words to all these people, as she's drinking the poison, her last words were, "Cherish life. Cherish life." Yes. That has a lot of meaning for me. And the realization of, without question, of the importance, the primary importance of love. Without question, without argument, that realization is very lightning also. When I began this journey so many years ago, I had no idea what love is, none. Although I talked about it so many years, I talked about stuff I didn't know about. Really? But love, I do know love. And the joy of freely experiencing it and living in relationship, where the relationship itself is nourishment. Yes. I'm so grateful that that has come into my life. I wouldn't want to be coming to the end without that. So my Dharma duty is to tell you, love, love. Open your heart. Throw it open. Whatever is necessary, there's nothing more important than love and your consciousness of it. Nothing. Ever. Love yourself must begin there, and then that extends outward to loving without qualification. Unconditional. It's easier to consider unconditional love when you're near death. I mean, what else? You're going to fight it? You're dying? You're going to argue about love or acceptance? You're going to continue to resist your ego stuff about your life when you're near death? I hope not. Yes. The joy of dying. Now, I think I'm making such a spectacle of this, I'm thinking, now everybody's going to be waiting, well, when's he going to do it? Because it's going on and on. It's been 6, 7 weeks, months,
years
since the stroke. But years, yes. What he's referring to is that I've always been fascinated by death and impermanence. But I didn't know it could be joyful. Yeah. Freed. Time with friends. Time with people that I choose to spend time with. It's so important. And along with that, there's been a lot of constraints on time. Many people in the retreat, for instance, they want to spend time with me, have tea, have conversations, and it's all been no. I don't have that freedom anymore to just do that. Now I want my time. I'm very covetous of my time. I want it to be full of love and freedom and not concepts. So that's the news today. I decided to talk this way about an hour ago. It's pretty fresh. Although the people who have been around me these past few months are very aware of it, I've been talking about it all the time. Being a Dharma teacher brings with it a responsibility. If you can't talk about dying when you're a Dharma teacher, when do you ever talk about it? Huh? You can't really talk about life. They're sides of the coin. So here I am. There's a kind of wonderful childlike feeling that comes with all this, and I'm very grateful. Now, 2 hours from now, it may have turned into terrible suffering. That's what happens with Dharma too. But I don't think so. No, I don't think so. And what I'm saying to you, it comes out of a heart that's no longer wounded, no longer broken, no longer broken. Practice meditation. Don't skimp on that. You'll never regret it. Thank you.